Okay.
I just got the recording note so everyone knows that we're being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just have people introduce themselves as they go, and we'll get started with the December 7th Des Moines Waterworks Planning Committee. It looks like a short agenda, but I'm excited to hear about everything that we have planned for 2022. 2021 was such a great year, kickstarting things off with having Jen back with us. So I assume I'll turn it over to her unless Ted has anything to say first.
Yeah, Andrea, I'll just kick us off here quick. And I think everyone is aware, but I want to make sure that the board is aware that in every year we set up a list of legislative priorities, things that we want to focus on during the legislative session. But this year we decided, given all of the things that are going on related to infrastructure funding and water quality and maybe even some of the vaccination requirements and testing and those kind of things, that it might be appropriate for us to establish some legislative priorities on the national level as well. So as always, we have our local lobbyists, Teresa and Nick from Advocacy Strategies, but we've also partnered with Woodbury, which is a DC lobby firm, and they are going to help us with some of our priorities on the national level, not only setting the priorities, but trying to implement those priorities as well. So I think what I'd like to do first, if I can, is just have those folks introduce themselves. We've invited them to be here today in case there are any specific questions. Nick, I see that you're here. I don't see Therese on yet, but Nick, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, and then once he's done, Gavin, you can go ahead. You and your team from Woodbury can introduce themselves, and then we'll let Jen walk us through a high-level overview of our priorities. So Nick, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'll start off, and I'll start by saying Teresa and I are playing dual roles here today. So she's on another call while I'm on this one. So, my name is Nick Laning, and I work with Teresa Harms at Advocacy Strategies. We're the state lobbying team here for Des Moines Waterworks, working directly with Ted and Jen. And I think I want to say on these legislative priorities we've come up with, Ted and Jen have taken what I'd say a very thoughtful approach to how we approach state level public policy. And we've done it very strategically with the current political climate in Iowa, as well as those decision makers that we work with every day. So for example, our agriculture and natural resources budget chairs. So what Teresa and I have worked with Jen and Ted and other members on the Des Moines Waterworks team is really building those relationships and then focusing in on our legislative priorities on ways we can work with those strong relationships and influencers. So I am just applauding Jen and Ted on this approach, and we're here to answer any questions anytime about the legislative process here in Iowa, who we need to be talking to, and how we can make some progress here in Iowa. So I'll stop there.
Thanks, Nick. Gavin, Derek, you guys want to introduce your team?
Hey, Ted, thank you. Hey, Jen. Hey, welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for including us in this call and this opportunity. We talked internally here, and I thought what we would do is I could just introduce our team to the group here rather than take up everybody's time with us running through our bios, and then talk a little bit about what we're hoping to help you all do before turning it back. And so I'm Gavin Klingham with Woodbury Associates. We are an Iowa founded firm, although we are based here in Washington, D.C. at this point in time. I'm joined in this client service team by my colleague, Lindsay Vidniks, who's a former Capitol Hill staffer, Derek Flowers, who is a public affairs professional and native born Iowan, and he can go through those details if you guys want to do the deep dive. And my colleague, Charlie Husser, who's also a former Capitol Hill staffer. My background is House Appropriations Committee. I worked for a member from a rural state. And we did a lot of infrastructure, water quality, and the like. And so I bring that kind of policy background and expertise as I try to overlay to the priorities that I know Ted and Jen have laid out for Des Moines Water Works. What our goal is really is to bring a little bit of policy and legislative process expertise to the team in support of the existing strong relationships that have been established by the Water Works. We hope to expand that kind of out beyond the Iowa delegation. And so we bring some relationships with committee staff, Energy and Public Works, for example, which is considering the water resources bill. And so we're hopeful to augment the Iowa expertise and knowledge with some of the committee experience. And then finally, we're really here is kind of to enhance the capacity. We're arms and legs on behalf of you all. And so we're hoping to lighten the load a little bit on Jen so we can keep track of things and then get direction and execution when necessary. And much like Nick said, we're here to answer any questions that folks have for us, but we really appreciate the opportunity and the relationship, and we're looking forward to a productive one.
Sounds good, Gavin. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time here and that quick overview. Jen, I guess I'm going to hand it off to you now and let you walk through the priorities, and then we'll see if the board has any questions about any of that.
That sounds good. Thanks, Ted. Thank you, all of the government relations team on both state and federal levels for being here today. I appreciate that. First of all, I'm having a ton of fun, so I'm excited about that. I'm enjoying working with all of those folks. So, so the list of issues at the state and federal level that we considered approaching from a policy standpoint this year is fairly lengthy, but with assistance and guidance from the folks here today, we've made our decision about which issues offer the best hope for progress in 2022. So the issues that are the ones that were highlighted in the board packet, you probably had a chance to review those. So I'm not going to read each one of them, but I'll go over them high level and then we can answer whatever questions you might have. So first, a look at the state priorities. So the old saying goes that champions are made in the off season, and we've learned that reaching out to state legislators over the interim when they're not in session helps us tell our story effectively to elected officials. So we did a road trip down to Oskaloosa. We had some folks here for a tour of the floor drive treatment plant and so on. So we had some productive discussions during the interim. So the 2022 state priorities reflect issues that we think may have a chance of moving this session. We decided there were some things we could be proactive about. Also, we're always, you know, watching on the defensive side as well. And Nick and Therese do a great job of emailing Ted and me many times a day, some days, to see what they should be doing on bills, and that's great. So the state priorities, number one, we address accountability and transparency around how much of the state water quality funding is being directed to the Raccoon and Des Moines River watersheds. We learned in some discussions with state legislators that they also want to keep a close eye on how those funds are being spent. And so we just think that there's a lot of good arguments for keeping that money, a portion of that in our two watersheds, because they have such an impact as drinking water sources. The second one is supporting the creation of public-private partnerships. We're growing in our watersheds. So you've been hearing about that local saturated buffer project, also the urban ag seeding partnership pilot, which is, again, the ink has not been signed on that deal, but we're getting closer to the joint purchase with several other entities of that cover crop seeder that we could use as a pilot and start rolling that out in the Beaver Creek watershed. And who knows, maybe if it's successful, the state will decide to buy 60 of them at $600,000 a pop and just roll those right up the watershed. Right, Nick? One of the senators, like, his eyes rolled back in his head when I suggested that, but then he kind of started to like the idea a little bit. The third one is to provide educational materials upstream to landowners by local drainage district personnel. So this is new. And so as of this year, a law was passed that whenever there's drainage upgrades, there needs to be a mandatory public meeting. And so we were talking with some of our senators about, as long as they all have to be there anyway, how about if we just do a little bit of education at the local level about downstream impacts? Not without, you know, just here's what happens and what effects drainage has. So I don't know if that'll get very far, but I think it's just a reasonable expectation. We have some case studies in Minnesota and other states where there's the success that way. And so I think we'll be able to highlight those. So our federal government relations team, Woodbury, has already hit the ground running. They have been organizing one-on-one meetings with our congressional staffers, and Gavin is right. They have already gotten us in the door and gotten us in meetings with folks that we didn't know. And it's been productive, and they've also been meeting with some of our ally organizations in the water space. So that's great. As you recall, Senator Ernst and her staff were here for a tour a couple of months ago, and that laid the groundwork for some really great discussions with Senator Ernst and her staff. And so Nick and Therese did a great job of handing that off seamlessly. And then the Woodbury folks have really grabbed onto that and made, you know, made hay up out of that relationship. So there's a lot of federal issues that we considered that are really important to us. So the ones that we've highlighted are harmful algal blooms. As the board, you all understand the serious nature of those. So there's a few different ways that we are trying to grab a hold of harmful algal blooms by connecting, for example, Senator Ernst's staff with Senator Rubio's staff, because Senator Rubio has similar issues with algae blooms in Florida. And so maybe ways that we can learn from their efforts. PFAS is the second area that we want to highlight in our federal priorities. So we have been in communication with our congressional delegation about how we can expedite the investigation that's going on at the Des Moines Airport for the Air National Guard site, how we can speed that up and be sure that we are in line to get some of, have the Air National Guard be able to help pay for the investigation and hopefully some remediation of that, see how all that plays out. You've all been hearing about the big infrastructure bill that was signed a couple of weeks ago. We have been having lots of meetings. Amy and Mike McKernan met locally with our Iowa Finance Authority, DNR, SRF folks, lots of acronyms there. We just want to be sure that we are at the table when they start introducing the guidelines to how that infrastructure money is going to be dispersed. So this is an excellent example of how our state team is working hand in hand with our federal team. So you know, we'll be meeting with state officials, hopefully the governor's office in a couple of weeks. We just want to be sure that everyone has a clear understanding of our needs, and then our federal team can take those same conversations to that level. So we can be talking with EPA and Region 7 and those folks about how our great need for those infrastructure funding in terms of lead pipe replacement and harmful algal blooms and, you know, just infrastructure upgrades and maintenance. So that's a great example of how we're stitching together the federal and the state work. And then the last one is, I would just say, maximizing association membership benefits is the way that we put it. So the Woodbury team did a great job of explaining how, you know, there's other organizations that are working on our very issues, and they're getting the ear of some folks in DC. So why not partner with them? And that's a great idea to, you know, enhance our footprint. So we've been having some meeting with some other groups at the national level that are, you know, some of the larger utility represent the largest utilities in the nation on a lot of the issues that we struggle with. So that's pretty cool. And that's been a lot of fun as well. So one of the examples is the National Special Districts Coalition. And so that's a group that came together to represent sort of the interests of people like us, independently operated utilities who were cut out of the last infrastructure funding round because we were not eligible applicants. So we hope to be meeting with that group to see what work they've done and if there's ways we can build upon that. Those are high level looks at both the state and federal priorities. And so I think what I'm gonna do is hit pause. If you have questions, that would be great. And then I please invite, if there are strategic questions, jump in our government relations team. That would be great, thank you.
This is Diane. I do have a question, and it goes to that issue that you just talked about, being eligible for these funds. Was the law written in such a way this time that we will be eligible?
I'm going to take a crack at that and then please jump in. This round is being run through more traditional means, including the SRF, State Revolving Loan Fund. And so my understanding is that we will be able to have better access to those funds. 49% of those funds will be disbursed in the form of grants or forgivable loans. And so how great would it be if we were in line for those? Do we have anything to add to that, team?
I'll just reinforce that what the goal from Washington was to get the money out quickly. And so they did it through existing mechanisms. The first package
So if
let me just connect the dots here. So if we're eligible for those funds and have access to those funds, then we would continue to. Is that right? Okay.
Yes. The first big tranche of funds that we're not eligible for went through mechanisms that only traditionally fund municipalities and states.
Okay.
And so that's why we found ourselves on the outside looking in. The second big tranche of funding is going through ones that are more used to working with organizations such as yours.
So remind me, because my memory is kind of fuzzy, Waterworks wasn't cut out of SRF eligibility a few years ago when that was at stake at the legislature? Does anybody remember?
We are certainly eligible to obtain SRF funds. And in fact, we've been working with the Iowa Finance Authority pretty recently to consider using SRF funds for some of the regional expansions that we're going to do. We've had a number of meetings with them. So I'm not exactly familiar, Andrea, with the initiative that you're talking about, but we have every reason to believe that we are eligible to receive SRF funding.
Okay. And I also had a question, you know, you kind of touched on it there at the end, Jen, about additional organizations that are out there that are also working on similar issues. Do they have hired lobbyist teams, or are they represented by the same folks that are here with us? I'm just kind of wondering how aggressive they are also being at this time.
I'll just say from our perspective, and then please do jump in, Woodbury. I did some background before we secured the services of Woodbury, and my understanding is in this space, most people have in-house counsel that does lobbying or have engaged with a firm similar to Woodbury. So I'm not going to say that we're late to the party. We're not late to the party, because before this year, you know, there weren't these big issues that directly affected us, and so many of them, I think, at the federal level. So I think the answer is yes, but I'd let the Woodbury team jump in there, please.
Sure. Yeah. So there's kind of two levels here. So one, Des Moines Water Works is the only waterworks that we represent. So we are not representing any of the others. However, most of them do have some kind of either contract or in-house lobbyists that are helping them. The places that we are looking currently are more of the trade associations. And so the trade associations all have their in-house teams. They're really important, not just because of their size and their geographic reach, right? They reach all across the country. They're important because of their depth. They're able to have policy experts who really do have the time to build the relationships and part of the issues. And so being able to partner with them and ride along with them on common issues is really important.
Can you give me some examples of some of the trade associations that you're working with? I know you talked about the one, but what else?
There are two that we're currently engaging with. So one's AMWA, which is Metropolitan Water Association. And so what we're working with them on is a poll of their membership that are for similar situated entities, independently operated, to see if any of them had more success than we did in securing some of the earlier funds that were released out there. Did they have strategies or best practices that we can utilize there? They also connected us through with the Specialty Districts Coalition, which is a coalition that's working on this issue of lack of eligibility. And so they were, and we weren't aware of them at the time because we weren't working on the issue at the time, but they were actually explaining to Congress that their funding mechanism was inappropriate for these independently operated utilities. They would be shut out of this. And so that was what their purpose was. And so those are the two that we're currently working with on building this up.
What's cool about that, Diane, is that, excuse me, so through that AMWA connection, in some instances, there's bound to be more support for things if there's not just the Des Moines Water Works asking for it. So they were able to give us the names of similarly situated utilities from red and blue states and all across the United States. And then when I was actually in a meeting with Congressman Axne's staff and some other people in the water space, they hosted a meeting this week. There was a guy there from Region 7 who asked for that list. He wanted to know who all of those utilities were. So Region 7 EPA now forwarded that list on to the EPA. So that's cool. So that was one connection that's very real that we made this week.
And Diane, to go back to your original question on the eligibility for funds, something that we did before Woodbury came on was work with Jen and Ted and our relationships with Senator Grassley's office as the infrastructure bill was coming through, and directly asked staff to check on our eligibility for specifically the lead service line pipe replacement dollars. Mm-hmm. So we do have committee staffers saying that Des Moines Water Works with the language should be eligible for those funds. And we'll be having a follow-up conversation with the governor's office next week to discuss that. And then we can bring in Senator Grassley or Congresswoman Axne as needed, because they voted in support of that legislation. So just so you know, we have been working that on the back end as well.
Do any of our other board members have any questions?
I'll jump in. I don't think this is the most pressing or important issue we've discussed, but just one that's been a subject of curiosity of mine, and that's Sailorville and amending its management plan. I don't know the actual term, but to allow for the reservoir to be managed for water quality purposes. I think it was mentioned briefly, but just curious if you can add a few words on that, what the outlook for that is.
I can start and then I'll let everyone else finish. Ted and I started working on this shortly after I came back a year ago. And I think there's a bunch of different ways you can grab a hold of this, and we're sort of trying to advance all of them. So it's under the Sailorville is under the jurisdiction of the Corps of Engineers. So we have established a really, I think, dynamite relationship with the Rock Island folks, as well as their congressional liaison in DC. So they're well aware of those issues and they really want to work with us, and that's good. Plus there's also what's called the Water Resources Development Act, which WRDA, which has focus areas that are explicitly laid out in that piece of legislation, and they list different parts around the United States of where interagency focus can be placed on harmful algal blooms. That's another lever we're pulling. What if we could get like somehow the Upper Mississippi River Basin put in there as a focus area? That would be huge. That would focus explicit funds here and have the spotlight on Sailorville, for example, working on that. And I think what everyone agrees is we need more research, first of all. Like, people can't even tell us at the national level, like, how we could do a better job of predicting them and then mitigating them and so on. So those are a couple. And then the interagency task force, that's pretty cool. So that's where Ted actually ran after and caught up with Senator Rubio when he was in Iowa and had a nice chat with him about interagency task force, and Nick Laning and Therese and Senator Ernst helped us get connected with him. So those are some different ways of grabbing a hold of it. So everyone else jump in now and add on to that if you would.
I'll just go brief because I think you did a great job with it, Jen. Joel, to your question is, I think that is moving forward. There is progress being made there. Predating Woodbury with Jen and Ted's interaction with Rock Island. My experience with the Army Corps when I was a Capitol Hill staffer is they are very responsive both to their constituency, but also to their congressional delegations. And so what we've seen so far in our interaction with them is a strong willingness to help on this issue. You laid it out perfectly. Their mission statement for that reservoir is recreation and flood control. And that needs to be changed. They need to be given additional authority so that they can do water quality as well. But I think that they are interested in that and willing to get to yes with a little bit of help.
Great, thank you. I think it's an exciting prospect.
Well, if there aren't any other, I'm sorry, Andrea, go ahead.
I was just going to ask the same thing you were. So go ahead, Ted.
You know, I was just going to comment, Andrea, I think we've got areas of focus here related to some of our biggest water quality problems, those being harmful algae blooms, PFAS. We've got areas of focus related to some of our biggest opportunities, which are related to federal funding and some of the other initiatives we have going on at the state level. So I think it's a great slate of priorities, great areas of focus. It gives us kind of marching orders to work on over the next year. And I'm excited to see what the team can accomplish based on this plan.
It's All a slam dunk, right, government relations team?
Yeah, so that was a guarantee. Thanks, Jen.
Keep it up, Nick. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, and thank you to our legislative teams for being here today. We appreciate your willingness to Zoom in and visit with the board.
I'll second that. I know that you all are very busy this time of year as things get ready to start. The legislative session gets ready to start. So thank you so much for joining us and sharing this information with us. And thank you, Jen, for pulling everyone together and laying this out for us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Andrea.
Yeah. So the only other thing we have on our agenda for today is general manager comments. Sorry for the little bit of a head bob readjustment here. Ted, I'll turn to you.
Yeah, just a couple of quick things from me, Andrea. First of all, I just want to make the board aware that the supply chain issues are starting to come to roost for Des Moines Water Works here. And I can give you a couple of specific examples. We had a motor on one of our low lift pumps, one of the pumps that delivers water from one of our raw water sources here into the Fluor Drive treatment plant. That motor needs to be replaced. And we got a lead time estimate of 62 weeks on delivery of that motor. Initially, they said the motor was beyond repair. It was too old. It was wore out. It needed to be replaced. But when we got the 62-week delivery estimate, taking another look, and we're actually going to try to rebuild the existing motor so that we'll have it for the summer, and then also order the one that will be here in 62 weeks so that as that one wears again, we'll have one available. But that's just unheard of kind of deliveries, starting to measure delivery times in years instead of weeks or months. Another example is citric acid. It's a chemical that we use for some of the cleanings that we do of our process equipment. No longer able to get it in the bulk quantities that we typically use, so they're delivering it in smaller totes, which are more expensive and have to be replaced more frequently. We're just starting to see that kind of thing on a fairly regular basis, sort of across the utility, but probably most urgently in our water production areas. And so we're keeping an eye on that and trying to be creative with how we address those issues. But it's really starting to be a challenge for us in a lot of cases. The other item that I will share is actually a bit of good news. Today, Amy shared that we did receive a $963,000 check from the state of Iowa to cover our COVID-related expenses for sequestering our employees on site.
So that's can't you?
Well, I can't report on that yet, Graham. I don't know for sure, but we're optimistic at this point. But we did receive the check today. We're very pleased that the state was able to come through with some of their COVID funds to help us with those expenses that were clearly related to COVID and clearly, in our opinion, emergency, and that FEMA had questioned initially challenges there. But thank you to the team here at Waterworks who worked on that. Amy and her folks were instrumental in keeping that moving and ultimately getting those funds secured. So that's a bit of good news.
Ted, question for the supply chain issue. Is there anything that we should be looking for for the future that we might need to start ordering now?
You know, that's a great question, Andrea. I don't know of anything specific that we should, you know, order ahead. In my tenure here, we've been through sort of this process of reducing inventory and trying to be more just in time and trying to keep our quantities in check so that we don't have so many millions of dollars of inventory in stock. And then we've been through situations before where some things were kind of more difficult to get, so we would stock up. Our experience right now is we kind of don't know what we don't know. We don't know which things are going to be hardest to get. And so I'm not sure that we know what we would need to stock up on. But Amy, I don't know if you have any other comments on that specific question.
I do. I turned my camera on, and I don't specifically know what those products are, but I do know that our purchasing agent, Julia Johnston, has been working with our production folks in particular to make sure that they have critical inventory and components on hand. And so she has been stockpiling a little bit.
Good. Okay.
Not clearing the shelves, but
yeah,
stockpiling responsibly.
Thank you.
I think that's it for me, Andrea.
All right. Well, does anybody else from the board or otherwise have, or I guess I should take a moment for public comment, although I don't see any public on here. Do we have anybody that would like to speak? Not hearing any. Any other comments from the board or otherwise? All right. Well, with that then, thanks for keeping it a short and sweet meeting. Give you a little, Alice is in her Drake women's basketball attire for the game tonight. And we'll let you guys go so we can get ready for that.
All righty.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks all.